everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go. All right. Hello, everybody. It's good to see you. So glad you're here. And, you know, you may be a little grumpy with the Micah Parsons thing, so I want to remind us of some good things. You know, like the weather changed this week. That's pretty awesome, right? College football is starting this weekend. Doesn't get better than that. Taylor Swift got engaged. That's a thing, right? And I also went to South Africa and came back. That's where I was at last weekend. And you may not realize it, but part of what we do in the Global Fund now is to, with the Irresistible Church Network that we're involved with, is foster in a couple of places, Korea, and which I'll go to in November, and South Africa, to bring about networks of churches that are externally focused that can reach people for Jesus in those communities and pour their energies out to the biggest needs in their communities. And it's the beginning of a network there in South Africa. It's amazing, the churches that are at the core of that, the job they're doing. You'll hear more about that later in the year. But it's just really cool to get to be part of what we get to be part of. And today, we are continuing, as you heard, our Navigating Us series. And this series is really built around the key bonding relationships that make life flourish, relationships that are with us and for us in life. And what does it look like to bond those? And so last week, we heard about friendship. Next week, we're going to talk about the next generation. However you're involved in the next generation, parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, something else, we're going to talk about that. This week is about marriage. And even if you're not married and never get married, it is so important to understand this relationship, because everything we say today about this important bonding relationship is going to be true of any significant relationship in our life, any deep relationship in our life. But certainly those of us who are married, so important to make sure that our perspective of marriage aligns with what God is going to say, because it's a significant upgrade to how our culture, what we've grown up with. And so to be able to upgrade our perspective and our experience of marriage, that's what we're going to talk about today. And speaking of upgrades, so I did fly back, you know, from South Africa, which is a long way, and multiple flights and all that. And when I was checking in, they asked a question and said, would you like to be upgraded? And that's an easy answer, right? I mean, that's not hard. And in my mind, I was thinking, you know, like first class, something like this on those big flights. That would be, like, wouldn't that be amazing? And I'd never want to leave. Like, it'd be incredible. And I was thinking it was free. But neither one of those were true. It was going to cost me a couple $100s, and it wasn't first class, but still premium economy, which is better than economy. But I had to think about it, right? Because $200 is $200, and it was less than $10 an hour of flying time. I'm doing all these calculations in my mind. Is it worth it? Is it not? But today, as we talk about, and I did it, but as we talk about, and I'm glad I did, as we talk about marriage, this is a no-brainer, because this upgrade is free. Like, an upgraded perspective about marriage that can lead to an upgraded experience is free because God has given it. He's the one who made up marriage. He gave us wisdom about what it is. And so as we look at this today, it's going to be probably surprising. Like, this probably isn't an upgrade in the way you might think about it, because it's not just, oh, here's how to be happy and how to have a happy marriage. That's great if that happens. But that's not actually what we're talking. What we're talking about is deeper than that. And so as we do, I just want you to be open. I encourage you. Just say, okay, God, whatever you want to speak into my life, I'm in. And if you don't know Christ, if you're not a Christian, then what we're going to say today is going to be applicable for sure. But as we're going to see, as we dive into it, this is just God's, it's a biblical view of marriage that is a significant upgrade. So let's talk about it. And before we actually get into what the upgrade is, there is a caveat, and it's a biblical one. And here's the caveat, and this is a biblical truth. Marriage is not for everybody. And that's so important in our, especially American Christian subculture, and really Southern American Christian subculture, because in our Christian subculture, there's this sort of idea that if you're a Christian, well, of course, you're going to get married, or you're not normal. Something's wrong with you. And you're not going to be complete. You're going to have an incomplete life. And so, you know, married people are going to, Christians are going to get married, they're going to have kids, and they're going to have families and all that, and that's important. And, hey, I'm all for marriage, I'm all for kids and all that. But marriage is not for everybody biblically. In fact, here's what Paul, who was single, you know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, said this to the Corinthians, "But I wish everyone were single just as I am." He was single. "Yet each person has a special gift from God. Marriage can be a gift. Singleness can be a gift of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried just as I am." Now he goes on to explain it. He's not making an edict. It's like you can get married if you want or not married if you want. It's up to you. But there's some significant things happening in Corinth, some persecution and things like that. That's why he's saying it'd probably be better just to stay as you are. It's going to, you know, you can be more focused and all. And all that to say this. If you're single and in any of you are married too, but if you're single, don't look at marriage to be the thing that to complete you. That you can have a complete life without a man or without a woman, because that's not what completes us. It's not like the Jerry Maguire movie. It's sweet line, "You complete me," but it's not true. What completes us is a relationship with Jesus. That's what brings us to maturity and to completion. And when two married people understand that, that's a lot better too. Because if you get married thinking that that person's going to complete you, or if you are married and you're expecting them to complete you, you're going to be disappointed. And you're going to have expectations of that other person that are unrealistic, and it's going to be frustrating for everybody. But when two people do get married who understand completion happens in Jesus, and then we can build a relationship, that's going to be a whole lot better. So all that to say, marriage isn't for everybody. Now, if I'm talking to single people here, okay? If you're married, then marriage is for you, okay? You've already made that decision. I don't want people walking away from this weekend thinking, well, married people, he said it's not for everybody. I'm out of here. Jeff said it. That if you're married, you've already made your choice, okay? You're in. And then, well, what did you choose? And this is an upgrade. Like, this is a different perspective about marriage in our culture. I think we have a very twisted view of marriage in our culture. We have a very twisted view of love in our culture. And therefore, we will have a twisted experience until our perspective gets right. I want to make sure we upgrade our perspective. And here's an upgraded perspective of what marriage is from God's perspective. That marriage is a promise, and a certain kind of promise, a covenant, a sacred promise. Marriage is a promise to love the other, to grow in Christ, transformation, and build a shared future that honors Jesus. That's the upgrade. There's a lot there. So let me just go phrase by phrase. First, marriage is a promise, and a certain kind of promise, a covenant, to love the other. All the way back in the book of Genesis, and in Genesis 2, it says, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. The marriage is a process of forming a new unit. Two people who, over time, build this bond and become one, and that's a process. But that bond is one that's based in a covenant. In fact, the word where it says united to his wife is a Hebrew word, dabak, which is the word that's used throughout the Old Testament to describe a covenant. It's covenantal language. Like in Malachi, a version of the word is used when God really gets frustrated with men in the Old Testament, his people, the Old Testament Israel, and men were the only ones who could initiate a divorce in that culture, and there were a lot of guys doing that, and he gets frustrated, and he says, "I hate divorce. What are you doing?" And he said, "She, your wife is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. This is a covenantal relationship." Now, what does that mean? And how's that different? Well, a covenant is very different than a contract. And And I think the way we think of culture, in our culture, the way we think of marriage is more like a marriage, like a contract. In fact, we even talk about it that way, a marriage contract. And a contract is conditional. You do your part, and if you do your part, I'll do my part. If you don't do your part, then I get to get out of the contract. It's really based on performance. Like this past week, past year actually, changed insurance carriers. We had the same insurance carrier for like 22 years. And even though we liked their commercials, we didn't like how they handled something. They didn't handle their end of the deal in a way that we thought was appropriate. And so we changed, and if you're wondering, we changed to another company that also has good commercials. But so we shifted over there, because, and that's okay, right? It's a contractual thing. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain, so we're out. And that's the way a lot of people view marriage. But that's not how God views it. It's not a contract. That's conditional. It's actually a covenant. And a covenant is a promise, a sacred promise, that is not conditional on somebody's performance. It's based on our character and our own integrity when we make that vow before God, when we make that promise. Like you see covenants throughout the Bible in the Old Testament. Like the new covenant is we're under, that's the Jesus covenant, which is the way we come to relationship with God is through faith in Jesus alone. And it's not about our works, but his work on our behalf. And that when he comes into our life, he will never leave us. And he will continue when we begin a relationship with Jesus to shape us and transform us and change us. And he will never quit. That's not conditional. It's not a contract. It's saying as long as you do your part and you behave and you're good. No, it's a covenant. It's like you can count on it. Or in the Old Testament, the rainbow, the Noah covenant, which is, you know, not going to flood the earth again in judgment. That's not conditional. It's not, I'm not going to flood the earth again. And you remember every time you see a rainbow, as long as you behave. But if you don't behave, you better get your, you know, water wings on or whatever, because it's coming. That's not the deal. It's a covenant. It's going to happen because it's based on God's character, his promise. Marriage, God views as a covenant, not a contract, which gives staying power. Because it means even if you're not doing what I think you should do, even if I'm not as happy as I think I should be, I'm going to stick with this because we made a commitment to each other. And when both couples realize, okay, we're going to stick through this, we're going to work through the hard, we're going to work through the difficult. And what you find in marriage over time is that's actually the only way to get to oneness. Why would we think that two people trying to become one would be easy? And it's part of it is working through the hard to get to the good. There's a guy named John Gottman, the Gottman Institute, who studied tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of marriages over the last 40 years. And he's looked at what's the difference between marriages that flourish and those who fail or flounder. And the one that rises to the top, there's several things, but the one that rises to the top is right here. It's commitment. And he talks about when married couples have this mentality that says, you know what, I'm not going anywhere. We're going to work through this. And it may be difficult, may get really frustrating. It's okay. We're going to work through it together. And when they have conflict, they actually begin to see it over time as an opportunity to grow in understanding and to get closer. When they're frustrated, that commitment is what allows the marriage relationship to grow and to have the kind of safety that intimacy demands. But it's not just a commitment to stay together. The commitment, the covenant, is to actually to love the other, whether they're loving you the way that you think or not, they should or not. It's a commitment to love the person, not just stay with the person, but to love the person. And let's talk about love, because in our culture, we have a very twisted perspective of love. In our culture, we say things like, well, you know, we met and we fell in love, which is wonderful, right? That's romantic feelings. And romantic feelings are great. I'm all for them. I love them. Christy and I are in a time in our marriage where we feel romantically close to each other. That's a wonderful thing. And there's ways you can even cultivate that. I think that's great. But that's not love. Love isn't something you fall into or fall out of. You know, people get divorced sometimes because they say, well, you know, we just fell out of love. What are you going to do? It's like we're a victim of whatever love is. It comes on you and it leaves you and there's nothing you can do about it. And well, and people say, well, yeah, you fell out of love. What are you gonna do? And that's a cultural thing. In our culture, it's like, yeah, I get it. You know, you fall out of love. But that's not love. That's not a biblical perspective of love. A biblical perspective of love is not a feeling. It's a decision. It's a choice. And it's a choice, a sacrificial choice, to put the other person first. It's a choice to set aside self for the sake of the other, to do whatever is best for that person. Paul talks about it, looking at Jesus. Now, this is true of every relationship. This is the relational ethic for a Christian with anybody. And here's how he talks about it in Philippians. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, which is just pride, self-focus. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking out to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness, self-centeredness. And naturally, in our sin nature, all of us are selfish. We're self-focused. And love says, I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to set aside self for the sake of the other. And no matter what, I'm going to prefer you. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to be forgiving to you. I'm going to serve you and your purposes. And it's just a different way of keeping score. One thing I noticed back when I did marriage counseling, and I don't do that anymore, and the reason I don't do that anymore is because I realized the hard way I'm not very good at it. But I did it for a while because I thought I'm a pastor, I should be able to do this. And so for, you know, probably a couple decades, I did marriage counseling, and I hope I helped somebody in that process. But it certainly helped me, because one of the things that I noticed is that almost always when two people came in, they had a scorecard in their marriage. And I can relate to this. I've done this too. And that is, in the scorecard is, you have this idea that here's all the things I do for you in marriage, and you don't do anything, right? You just do nothing. You're like that. And guess what? The other part of the partnership, they've got their scorecard too. Except for them, it's the same thing. This is all that I've done for you. The one that just supposedly did nothing. This is all the stuff I've done for you, and you don't do anything. Because a way of keeping score, it's amazing when we're self-focused, we maximize what we do, and we minimize the contribution of the other. Love has a totally different scorecard. Love doesn't really worry about what you do for me. Love just says, I'm just gonna pile up everything I can do for you. And now when two people do that in a relationship, you can imagine that works pretty great, right? When one does it, that can be a little frustrating. But even then, God can fill you so that you can pour out his love to the other and continue doing that. That's what marriage is. It's a commitment to love the other person no matter what. But it's more than that too, because that's hard to do. I mean, what I just said may sound easy in a sermon, but to love somebody and to continue to prefer them, especially if I don't feel like they're doing everything they're supposed to do, that's hard. And how do I become that kind of person? And that's where transformation comes in. The marriage, let's just go back to our upgrade. Marriage is a promise to love the other, but also to grow in Christ, to be open to transformation. That marriage is an incredible opportunity, not just to be happy. That's really not the point of marriage. The biggest point of marriage is an opportunity to become more like Jesus and to grow in love, which is better. And marriage is, I mean, all relationships are designed or are opportunities to help us grow. Like, we grow closer to God in relationship with other people. Every relationship can be a transformative relationship. But marriage is unique because it is so permanent and it is so intimate that it is powerfully transformative if we approach it that way. In a couple of ways. One is a mirror, the other is a means of transformation. So I'll talk about mirror. So I've recently started going back to the gym. And my gym closed down. That was my excuse for the last 3 years not to go to the gym. And now somebody else reopened it in the same location. It's totally different, but for some reason it's like, okay, I'm gonna go back. And I've gotta get ready for ski season. And so, okay, let's do it. Let's get back in the gym. But one thing I've noticed about, and I've been four times. Are you proud of me? four times. And I'm supposed to go tomorrow. We'll see if I do it. But I'll tell you next week if I went on Saturday. But because football games, you know, that's hard to leave. But anyway, one of the things I kind of forgot about gyms is how many mirrors there are. Like, there's mirrors everywhere. Every wall is a mirror in this gym now. And which is great for people who spend all their time in the gym, right? Because they love looking at themselves in the mirror and doing all the weights and look, you know, seeing everything bulge and, you know, makes them, you know, all gets everything, I don't know, gets them motivated. When I look in the mirror, I don't feel that way. Because when I look in the mirror at the gym, I just see a dad bod and I'm like, how did that happen? And I'm so discouraged. Like, how am I going to get out of that body? Like, how am I going to get from my body to that person? I mean, that seems pretty impossible. Now, maybe in 4 or 5 months, I'll be one of those people in front of the, you know, mirror and doing all that stuff. I don't know. That'd be nice, right? If that happens, you'll see if there's a difference. And that'll be great, because the thing with mirrors is mirrors don't lie. People will lie. You can ask somebody when you're getting ready, hey, does this look good on me? And they'll probably say, oh, yeah, great. But a mirror will let you know, right? A mirror will be like, don't you dare go out in that, right? And because mirrors don't lie. Marriage is a powerful relationship because it's such a close and intimate one that, and this is true of all our close relationships, it will reveal where we're really at in terms of maturity and Christ-likeness and spirituality and all that. Because the measure of spirituality, how you know how you're doing, is not how much Bible you know, how many times you come to church or go to a group or do Christian things. I mean, all that's great. But the way you'll really know the measure of real spirituality is love, and especially displayed to those who are closest to you. If you really want to know how you're doing, well, how are you doing at home? Like, are you kind? Are you patient? Are you forgiving? Are you other focused? Are you encouraging? Just how are you at home? And sometimes, I mean, it's not always pretty looking in that mirror, thinking, man, I just said something to my wife that was not kind. It felt good in the moment, but did I just really do that? Like, what's going on in me? And so it's an important mirror to say, man, I need to grow. I need to change, and I know how, because I just looked in the mirror. But marriage is also a very powerful, not just mirror, but also means of transformation. Because relationships are part of what God uses to grow us, and marriage is such a close one and a difficult one that it has every opportunity for God to use that, because, especially when things are difficult, because God uses difficulty to grow us. That's why James in the New Testament, Jesus' brother, who wrote the book of James, writing to a group of Christians who were suffering, said, hey, look, I know you're going through a lot of really hard time and all that, but consider it all joy when you go through trials of all kinds. Not because the trial is good, it's not, it's terrible. But because of how God can use difficulty to grow us and get what we want most, which is to be better, to be more like Jesus. And when we see it that way, then even a difficult period of marriage or even a difficult marriage or a difficult stretch of marriage can be something we can be thankful for, because it is so transformative. It's like in the gym, resistance training. So in going back to the gym, I decided, and going back to see a trainer once or twice at the beginning just to set me up on here's what to do. And because I know me, and I know I will resist resistance. I'll be easy on me. I'll run a little bit until I'm tired and I don't want to. Or I'll lift some things, but not as heavy as I might, because it's hard. And in fact, I was there today. And even with him putting me on a thing, but he wasn't there today. And I'm supposed to do 3 sets of everything. And after 2, I'm like, I think I'm good. But then I knew I'd be talking tonight about this, and so I did the 3rd, just because it's your fault. Because I'll resist resistance on my own. And I think we all do. And part of marriage transformation, or transformation in general, is embracing resistance. Seeing it like putting weights on the bar, like, okay, so this conflict, That's a weight. It's heavy, but I'm going to embrace the opportunity because if we work through this together, we have the opportunity to grow. A marriage frustration, an opportunity to sacrifice in a way that I really don't want to, an opportunity to serve my wife, Christy, in a way that I really don't want to. All that stuff, frustrations and all the things that happen when it gets difficult is really an opportunity if we see it the right way, that resistance, if we embrace it, to grow. And it's easy to quit, but people who find transformation are those who work through it. And what if we saw marriage, the real like point of marriage, not just, oh, I want to be happy, because that's going to come and go. We can't really control that. But what we can control is the transformation thing. If we see marriage as a mirror and means of transformation to say, what I can control out of marriage is I can make sure that I do my part to see that I'm growing in Christ, because especially when it's difficult, but anytime, that's what it's going to be about, is about growing me in Christ. That's a very different perspective than our culture has about marriage. But it's an upgraded one because it is a really powerful way to get what we want most, and that is to be better, to be more like Jesus. And then he goes on. So marriage is a promise to love the other, to grow in Christ, and build a shared future that honors Jesus. The marriage, a Christian marriage, in a good marriage, is not just about us, but something bigger than us. I mean, think about that, right? As individuals, you know that. Like, you don't, whether you're a Christian or not, be like, okay, I know that my life would be better if I have a purpose, right? I mean, purpose gives meaning to life. Like people who retire with no purpose, with nothing to do. It doesn't generally go well. But that's true for anybody, right? We all need an exalted purpose, something bigger than just being happy, something bigger than ourselves to give our life to. Our life's going to be a lot better. Well, marriage is the same way. When a marriage is more than just, oh, we just want to enjoy life together, even more than let's raise kids together. That's a wonderful purpose. We'll talk about that next week. That's great. But we're talking bigger than that, a purpose that even informs how we raise our kids, that's bigger than just raising our kids to be happy or raising our kids to be successful. And when marriage has a purpose that's bigger than that, when the kids leave, there's still a reason to be together. And what is that purpose? And what does that look like? For a Christian, we don't have to guess, because Jesus told us how to think about life and how to live life as his followers. In Matthew 6 is the way, this is one way he said it, seek first his kingdom, that's his purposes in this world, and his righteousness. And then he says, and all these things will be added to you, meaning all these things are everything everybody else lives for. Don't worry about that. He's like, I'll give you all that. I just want you to focus on my purposes, both in your life, what righteousness looks like, what it means to grow, as well as my kingdom, my work on this planet. You focus on my purposes, and I will fill your life with meaning and significance and all these other things that everybody runs after. I'll make sure that's fine. You focus on a bigger purpose. And a marriage that has a bigger purpose has every opportunity to grow in unity, because you're unified around something bigger than just yourselves, something bigger than just your happiness. Christy and I have been married now for 36 years. We just celebrated our 36th anniversary, which is kind of nuts to think about. How did that happen? I mean, feel 36. But we've been married 36 years, and 37 years ago, I still remember this, from our premarital counseling. And our premarital counselor just drew, I've seen this 100 times since then, probably from different people. It's a very simple little concept, but I've never forgotten it, and it's been super helpful for us. And here's the little diagram. You see a little man and woman there. They look a little young, the girl, but just picture an adult there. Otherwise, this gets sick pretty quick, so just picture two adults and who are married. And the whole point is, if you want to get close, as two people get closer to God in marriage, and you go up you know, you go up the triangle, what happens to each other? Like, you're getting closer to each other as you're growing closer to God. And as you prioritize your relationship with God and you serve his purposes in the world and become more like him, and especially if you're both doing that, you will get closer and closer to each other. And I've seen that over 36 years of marriage. And one of the things I really appreciate about Christy, I appreciate a lot of things about her, but as she's prioritized her relationship with God and her ministry and her gifting, but also shared ministry that we do together, I mean, being a pastor's wife, there's certain things that come with that, certain demands on her, certain things that she's, you know, and she has always, for the last 40 years now, that we've been a couple and either dating or married, we've had the opportunity to serve Jesus together and to grow in our relationship with Jesus together. And after decades of that, you realize, man, that diagram is really true. And therefore, if you're married, let me encourage you to grow together, to have a bigger purpose, to say, hey, let's take steps. Let's get in a small group together. Let's find ways to serve together. I mean, you may have different gifts and interests and all that. Okay, that's great. Go do it. But also find ways to serve God's purposes together. And as you do, over time, you have a bigger purpose than yourself. Then you realize, okay, marriage isn't about me. It's actually a means to be a blessing to the world. And when I choose to be a blessing, that's the biggest blessing for us. We grow in joy, we grow in meaning, grow in significance. So let me put all this together, the upgrade. The marriage is a promise to love the other, to grow in Christ, and build a shared future that honors Jesus. Now, I know that's a very Christian-y, churchy perspective of marriage, and some of you are here, and you're like, yeah, I'm not a Christian. You can still take away from this, you know, idea of purpose and transformation, all that. But for a Christian, this is what we sign up for when we sign up for marriage. It's a different kind of upgrade than we might expect. You know, and what I'm gonna encourage you to do is right now, if you're single, think about a relationship that's significant. If you're married, think about your marriage. And which one of these sticks out to you as something, you know what, I wanna focus on that one. Is it the promise, the covenant? Right now, you may be wanting to bail because marriage is hard, I get it. There are times in marriage you're not going to want to be married. And to remember, okay, wait a minute, this is a covenant. God help me have staying power. Maybe right now it's the love part. It's not just a commitment to be together, it's a commitment to love the other. And there may be things that love is demanding of you right now that is really hard. I mean, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. You know, love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs and so on. Is there, as you think about what it means to love the other person, is God kind of just say, God, whisper into me. God, is there some way I need to love my spouse or love that other person I'm thinking of? And is that what you want? To grow in Christ, transformation. I mean, maybe right now it's about embracing resistance for you as a couple, especially if things are difficult, and saying, okay, I hope it's not always difficult, but it's difficult right now, and we're gonna embrace that, and we're gonna work it out, and we're gonna work through it, and we're gonna grow. Or maybe it's about purpose, a shared future that honors Jesus, and taking some kind of step together that does that. Let me encourage you just to come up with something, and then talk about it if you're married, or talk about it if you're thinking of a relationship, talk about that with somebody and say, hey, this is what I think God's saying to me. What is God saying to you? Have that conversation this week. And I'm gonna encourage everybody, if you're married, to come to the marriage conference that you just heard about from your campus pastor or host, September 26 and 27. Because it's a significant step forward to say, you know what, let's build some skills. Let's do something that is gonna help us upgrade our marriage and the experience of marriage. And let's do it together. And it's gonna be done in a very Chase Oaks way. And what I mean by that is there's gonna be truth and challenge, but it's gonna be fun. It's not gonna be a beatdown. It's not about shame and guilt and, you know, I've been to those. I've been to marriage conferences that were a beatdown. And that's no fun. In fact, I remember a conference we went to And I don't know if it's the conference's fault, but it was called A Weekend to Remember. And I remember it, but not for the reason that they advertised. I remember it because it was maybe the most difficult weekend of our marriage. And in fact, on Saturdays, when it all happened, like they had this little break, and then you stayed in this resort and in your hotel. They'd broken in your room, which I thought was weird, and had, I don't like that. And they had like chocolate covered strawberries and champagne waiting. And so you're supposed to have this romantic evening. And all we want to do is throw strawberries at each other. You know, things came up, unresolved hurt and unresolved conflict that had been stewing for a while came out. And we needed to work through it. So it ended up being what we needed, honestly. But it was also kind of, the way they did it was to kind of get you. So I remember it. And all I'm saying, and that might happen, okay? But it's not designed that way. That's not designed that. It's designed to say, let's get on the same side of the table together as a couple. We both want the same thing. And let's learn how to do this together. It's not you against me. It's us together. We both want a better marriage. And so we're going to do this. And it's going to be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. There's going to be games and giveaways and all that. And let me encourage you, if you are... especially if you have kids at home, farm them out to somebody and get a hotel or something, if that helps. And don't let weird people break in your room with stuff, but just get a hotel. And if that helps, just a way to make it special and focused. If you are parents, we're going to talk about parenting next weekend, but the best thing you can do for your kids is not put them in another hockey camp. Or give them another tutor. I mean, that's great. I'm all for that. I did that. The best thing you can do for your kids is to build a good marriage and to let them grow up seeing you prioritizing your marriage and to let them grow up in the most loving marriage that they can experience. That's the best thing you can do for your kids. And so let me encourage you to make it a priority. And it's going to be for Christine and I will be there, not to teach. We just want to get our marriage. We just want a better marriage, too. So we're going to be there participating and hopefully not fighting. Like Merit Weekend, remember, this will go better. I believe it. I'm believing in it. And it'll be great. And so you can sign up for that. But I really want to pray for God's help in this because it's a big deal. Marriage, if marriage feels hard right now, it's because marriage is hard. And if you think that there's somebody out there that has this marriage that's not hard, that's not real. Now, marriage is wonderful. It's good. It's magical in a lot of ways, but it's not easy, two people becoming one. And we've talked about the marriage upgrade, and I want us to go to God with whatever's on that he's put on your heart to say, okay, whichever one that is, I want to focus on that. But I also want to say this as we, before we pray. The marriage is such a unique relationship. Paul let us know in Ephesians 5 that one of the reasons God made up marriage was he wanted a way to help us understand the kind of relationship he wants with us. And there's all kinds of ways he tries to do that, a father and where his children. But marriage is another one. And it talks about how the whole concept of marriage is preferring the other and sacrificing for the other and loving the other. And how Jesus gave his life and how he sacrificed his life, and that's what marriage is. And that one of the ways God wanted us to understand a relationship with him, he's like, look, I want to be like your husband in a loving marriage that is committed to you, that's not going anywhere, that loves you, that wants what's best for you, that delights in you, that thinks you're beautiful. That's the kind of relationship he wants with us. That's another way to experience understand what he calls gospel, the good news of a relationship with God that's not based on our works, but on his love for us. And to begin a relationship with Jesus is really just understanding that and saying yes to him. It's like him getting down on the knee and saying, will you marry me? And he's saying, yeah. So I want us to bow our heads together. And first, consider your relationship with God. He loves you. and he wants a relationship with you. You can say yes or no. He's done everything possible through Jesus to make it happen. And it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, whether you're good at being good or terrible at it. It just doesn't matter. Because it's not about that. It's about his love for you and his grace, and everything he offers is by his grace as a gift. And you can just say, yes, I want a relationship with you. And that begins a relationship that will not quit, because it's a covenant that he makes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you, he says in Hebrews. And then whatever your relationship with Jesus, I want you to think about your marriage, if you're married, or a significant relationship in your life of another kind, if you're single. And I want you to just ask God right now, God, what does it look like for me to be the spouse or the friend or the parent or whatever relationship you're thinking about? What does it look like for me to be the kind of person that can build a more significant relationship and transform me? God, what are you calling me to do? God, help me not think about them. Just, what do you want me to do? God, is it to stay? Staying power? Is it love? Sacrifice? Being open to transformation myself? Purpose? God, what is it? What do you want me to do? God, just whisper it and then help me activate. And Father, on behalf of all of us, I thank you for the relationships, the bonding relationships that you put in our life. And I pray that you'd help us grow in those and grow the bonds of all these relationships that we're talking about. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.